I'm so grateful that God is a prayer-answering God, and I just enjoyed all of the praise reports, especially the one about just standing in line and people just coming up and taking care of you. You know, he can use a raven. God used a raven to feed the prophet, and that's interesting because a raven was one of those birds that was ceremonially unclean. And so, but God used a raven. He can use someone you don't even think or an unexpected direction to bring salvation, to bring providence into your life. And I'm so grateful that God has done that so many times, just opened up a door that I did not expect and bring in a deliverance that I wasn't even looking for. And I'm so grateful for that. Amen. Well, this month, our topic has been walking in light. Walking in light. And I'm just waiting for my computer. We have a little bit of technical difficulties here. But our theme has been walking in light. And last week, we talked about and I showed how before God could do any real creation of life, there were three separations. Anyone remember what the three separations in Genesis were that God did before he actually made the first life? Light from darkness. The Bible said that God saw the light, that it was good, and the first thing he did after he created the light was what? He separated the light from the darkness. What was the next separation? The waters below from the waters above. Now, it's interesting that he did that because for God to use something, it has to be separated. It has to belong uniquely to him. Now, if you read Genesis 1, you see that the Bible says that there had not been rain. There had not been rain, but God needed to use the water to bring forth growth. So he separated the water below from the water above, and we see that the water above was used to form a mist to make things grow. Before he could use the water, it had to be what? Separated. And so, again, that tells us something. If you want to be used in 2019, you're going to have to be separated from things that detract from your meditation, that detract from your walk with God, that detract from your spiritual direction this year. And it could be that God wants to use you, but we have to be separated. We have to be put down those things that are not conducive to walking in the Spirit. God wants to change your direction in 2019. And the only way that happens is when we become separated to him. Amen. What was the third thing that God separated? The land from the water. That's right. He did the first separation, which was darkness from light, and then water below from water above, and then finally the land from the water. And then came the first life. It took all of those three separations before God could bring forth life. And sometimes we're on this journey and we've done a few things. We've separated a little bit, but there's still more for us to do. Amen. God called Abraham, I said, and he told him in Genesis 12 to leave his family, leave all the mess in Ur of the Chaldees. I can't really bless you there because there's too much paganism. There's too much self. There's too much flesh there. You're going to have to leave that. And he started the journey, but of course you know the story. He took a bunch of people with him. And that's usually our trouble. We half obey God, but we still try and take a lot of stuff with us. And what that does is it slows down God's plan for our life. It takes away from what God is intending to do. And it took Abraham a while before he woke up to really what God wanted him to do, because we know that he stopped in this place called Haran, and he brought all of his family, not just his wife, but he brought his grandfather. And it wasn't until his father Terah died that again he said, you know what, this isn't where God called me to stay. I wasn't supposed to stop in Haran. And most of us, that's our life story. We have stopped somewhere. We haven't continued the journey that God really wants us to do. We've paused. We've half obeyed him. We've left the world somewhat, but we've dragged a lot of stuff with us. We've dragged a lot of stuff with us. And until we start to fully fulfill what God wants us to do, we're going to always be struggling. We're always not going to have the best. And so it turns out that God had promised Abraham a son. But it took 25 years for the fulfillment of the promise because of Abraham's, I believe, slowness. Because he did not actually fulfill right away. And we can tell that in Genesis, we can tell that in Genesis 12 because it says, God had said. Has God had said some things to you? When are you going to do it? When am I going to do it? I really want in 2019 to listen fully. When we listen fully, then we can get God's blessing fully. It said God had said to Abraham, Abraham, I want to bless you. I want to take you to the next level, but you've got to fully obey me. And he had not fully obeyed. He took a bunch of people with him. And because of that, his blessing was delayed. Now, I showed last week that it really wasn't until who left him that he was truly in the place where God wanted him. Who was it he had to leave him before he was really ready to be blessed? Anyone remember who? Lot. Lot chose to go back down into the water. The Bible said he looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom, right? He looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom and he decided, oh, that looks great. That's where I want to be. But little did he know that that was where every other mess was too. And of course, you know the story about that. And he left Abraham the mountains and the hill country thinking, well, that's not going to be as good and that's not going to be as beneficial. But I tell you what, even if you got the rocks and God is there, that's where the blessing is. That's where the blessing is. So we're going to pick up from that, and this week we're going to be continuing on our theme on walking in light. Let me get to my computer here. Is playing up okay? Let's see if that gets us where we want to go here. All right, let me take a pause here. I got to start one more thing. We have the media ministry, and Josh does such a wonderful job. But sometimes I'm not. Amen. Yes, we can give him a round of applause. Amen. Okay. But the devil wanted to get into the technical things today. But okay. All right. We're there, I think. Amen. So we're going to continue that theme today about walking in light. Hallelujah. We know that Jesus said, I am what? The light. And there's this theme that we find throughout Scripture about light. And we're going to explore that over the next 2 weeks. And the theme Scripture for today is 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walking in light, I said last week how scientists now use light to kill bacteria and disinfect food. So last week we studied separation of the light from the darkness. And this week we're going to talk about light from the Word. Anyone think of a scripture that tells us about light from the Word? That's right, Psalms 119. I think verse 105 says, Thy Word is a lamp. And that's what we're going to look at this week. And then we're going to look at the light of the world and walking in light. Okay, here it is, Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What do you think that means, anyone? What does it mean that thy word is a lamp? Sister Stephanie. Okay, if you need to walk somewhere and it's dark, what do you need? A light. Otherwise, you're going to do what? You're going to get lost, you're going to stumble, you may fall, you may trip, I mean, it's just very simple. If you were to close your eyes and try and walk around this place, you're going to hit some things. But with God's word, if we use it properly, it will direct us. It will stop us running into objects, things that we don't need or want to. But there is also something interesting in the Bible about Satan that you may not have thought about. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." But when Satan was created, what was his original name? Lucifer. Lucifer. And what does Lucifer mean, anyone? Okay, let's look at that. In Hebrew, the word is Hillel. And it's found in Isaiah 14, verse 12. Speaking about this being and his fall from perfection, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Which did weaken the nation. So we find that before Lucifer fell, his name had something to do with light. Isn't that interesting? It means light bearer. Light bearer. Lucifer means light bearer. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us something about false light. He says, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." It's become very common in the last few years for people to call themselves apostles. Everybody's prophet and apostle. Doctor, prophet, apostle. And I've said so many times that the greatest title you could have is actually what?
Servant.
Paul says, "Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, wouldn't it be great if some of these organizations, that would be the title, you become a servant, which is what the word minister means. If you're going to be a minister, it means you serve others. It doesn't mean people serve you. I don't want no one carrying my briefcase and fanning me. No, I'm here to be a servant. That should be my job. But even in Paul's day, which wasn't very long after the church really got started, he said there were deceitful apostles, fake and false apostles, deceitfully workers, transforming themselves, pretending to be apostles of Christ. And he says, don't be surprised at this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's why the Bible says, try the spirits. Not everybody says, "I have a word for you," is actually from God. And the thing about light, if it's shone in the wrong way, right into your eyes, it can blind you. Still can't see, right? I was driving down, coming back from Madison, and it was dark, and this guy was like maybe a foot off my bumper, you know, and he had his bright lights right up there shining, you know. And, you know, when people do that, I'm not the kind of person to sit there. I said, "Fine, if you want to go ahead of me, that's fine. As soon as I can, I let him go." I have no time to be trying to compete with fools. My father used to say, "Oh, they're soon going to scrape him up." That was something he used to say about bad drivers. They're soon going to be, meaning he's going to be crashing very soon. They're soon going to be scraping him up. So anytime people get in my, so that their light's right in my eyes, so it's impairing my driving, I let them pass. Amen. I'm not going to fight the devil head on because I can't do that. I let the word do my fighting for me. The Bible said the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We can't fight the devil physically or spiritually by ourselves, but God's word can. Even Jesus showed us the example how you should fight. He says, "It is written." Amen. So we see that there is a false light in the world. That's why there's so many churches with different teachings and different denominations, is because Satan has decided if you can't beat them, join them. Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so you find all kinds of false teachings. Some for profit. Send me $10 and I'll send you this little prayer rag that I washed with. It's gonna heal you. Or this is the anointed soap that I have used. It's unbelievable, but people like that get huge crowds. They are deceived. Because the light from Lucifer is blinding them because it's a false light. There's certain light that if you look at it, it will blind you. The laser light is so focused that if you look at it and it's powerful enough, it will blind you. No, God's light is not like that. It shows us where we're going. It's not there to blind you. Verse 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In the end, by their fruits, you shall know them." Anyone who is trying to profit from the gospel, you can tell straight away, that isn't what Jesus and his disciples did. They did not sell the gospel. They did not go about doing that kind of thing. It was not for, as the Bible says, for filthy lucre. So we see that Satan also has some light, but it's a light that blinds. It transforms and is there for deceptive purposes. Amen. We've got to be careful of his deceptive purposes because that can blind us too. The Bible tells us about that. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And how does he hide it? By giving them a false light, giving them false truth. And the Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Blind. It's amazing how people can read the Bible and miss the truth. I've been listening to a series as I drive, written by two different college professors on theology. And it's amazing how I get really infuriated. I'm talking to the speakers because they're saying such nonsense. And they can't see the truth of God's word. I mean, they said so much nonsense, I can't even remember all the things they said. But, you know, I'm listening to how their light that they have received is blinded them to the truth of God's word. But the scripture tells us this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. You see, the Bible, we believe, is written by God. That is, he used people to write down his word. And so because it's written by God, or by through the Spirit, it takes the Spirit to understand it fully. Yes, there are stories and some simple things of salvation that God has made plain, but there are other things that he has hidden. Why? Because he doesn't want Satan to understand it either. In fact, he told his disciples, I speak to everyone else in parables, but to you in Matthew 13 is his given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. When we come to church, we are learning the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So the God of this world hath blinded the eyes, because there's some things that seem so simple. I really heard this professor say that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. And I'm saying, what? How can you come to that conclusion? How can you come to that conclusion? You know what? He's gotten so much false light, he can't see the truth. How can you? I started quoting scriptures to him. I know he wasn't listening to me as I was driving. I was telling him all the scriptures where it was plain who Jesus said he was. He said so. He said Jesus never said he was the Son of God. I said, how? This professor has got D.D., M.A., went to Princeton Theological, and yet the truth is missing. The devil's light has blinded him. That's why the Bible says we have to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that is not ashamed. That's why we shouldn't skip Sunday school. Amen. So we see that Satan will try and blind you. I see quite a few of you wear glasses. Yeah. I wear contacts. Someone read that for me. It's a sentence. Read the sentence. You see, they can see the letters, but they can't see the meaning. You get my point? What is that actually saying? That's right. You see, you can see the letters and not understand what it's saying. That's what some of these people are doing. They can read the Bible and not see that it's actually telling them something more than just the letters. That says, I once was blind, but now I can see. And that's taken from John chapter 9, verse 29. So this is how, if you don't understand or know the true light, you can be blind. I didn't put this in there. But Paul was like that. He was so zealous for Judaism. He thought he was doing the right thing. And he was on his way to Damascus. And what happened? What was the first thing that happened? A light. A light suddenly shone on him. And then he heard the voice. Paul, Saul, why are you fighting me, Saul? You see, he took the true light to open his eyes. He was physically now blind, but his mind was now open. He realized that the person he had was fighting was actually Jesus. Who art thou, Lord? It is I, Jesus. It is I, Jesus. So it's funny how we can have this book called the Bible, and people can read the words but not get the understanding. Why? Because it's a spiritually discerned book. We have to seek God for true understanding. Just like as how when you first look at that, it just looks like some letters until you understand it's actually trying to tell us something. Amen. So the true light, though, delivers. It doesn't blind you. It delivers. We see this example when Peter was in prison. Herod had locked him up, because they were trying to stamp out this new thing that Jesus had risen. And he locked up Peter in prison. Acts 12, 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. I don't know if they had a 24-hour prayer chain or what, but the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing. When we get on our knees and start to call out with all our might, when we really get to that place of true intercession. The Bible says with the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, it says that their cries have come up before me. I'm about to do something. I'm about to intervene in your situation. The cries have, sometimes we have to get desperate because we're not really serious with God until we get in real trouble. That's when we turn to the only one who can save us. Before that, we turn to the doctor, we turn to money, we turn to job, turn to family. And it's when nobody else can help, then we get desperate. Anyone been there? I've been there. I've been at the place where no one else could help. It was just a hopeless situation. But when we get desperate with God, when we seek, the Bible says, I will be found of you when you seek me with your whole heart. Not part of your heart, your whole. When you're totally separated to me, then I will be found of you. Amen. So we see the church made prayer without ceasing. Herod had already executed James, who was the first Christian martyr that we know of. And he thought, I'm going to kill Peter too. We're going to stamp this church business, this Jesus business out. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, this is the interesting part. You're about to be executed tomorrow morning. You're going to sleep? Do you see that? Peter had gone to bed. Okay, just another day. Lord, I'm in your hands. Whatever you say, God, is fine with me. I said I was going to die with you. Amen. But I didn't die, and now is my chance. I almost think Peter was looking forward to this, you know. I failed you the first time. I betrayed you. I denied you the first time. This time I'm not going to do it, Lord. The Bible says he was sleeping. Most of us, we're facing something the next day, not execution, we can't even sleep. We just got a test. We can't sleep. Here, he's facing execution, and he's drawing Z's. He was resting in God. That's the first thing to notice about Peter in this situation. Now, that shows faith and trust. Going to execute it tomorrow. Well, okay. Going to sleep. Get a good night's sleep. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping. And they didn't want him to escape. We're not going to have any of your people come and raid the prison and break you out. He was chained between two soldiers down in the dark part of the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And what happened? What does it say next happened? A light. A light. A light shined. This light was just for Peter. Amen. Because the soldiers, they were not going to wake up. Sometimes God will show you a personal light. It's just for you. The world can't understand how you're getting out of trouble because it's just for you. See, this time the light delivered. Sometimes we read this scripture, we don't realize there's little breadcrumbs in there. It says the light. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison. Why? Because it was a dark place. You think they're going to waste money on candles and oil lamps for these? No, it was a pitch black place where they didn't care. They were rotten in there. There was mice. There was all kinds of stuff. So the first thing to bring deliverance to Peter when the angel came, a light. Sometimes we are in darkness and we don't know how we're going to get out. In fact, when the angels came to declare Jesus' birth, they said, a light has shined in darkness. Amen. So we see that the true light delivers. It doesn't blind. It shows you how to get out. Peter needed the light to get out of the jail because it was crowded. He was chained between two prisoners. And he was so at rest that the angel had to wake him up. Get up, Peter. And he smote Peter on the side. The light alone wasn't going to wake him up. He had to slap him. He was so at rest. He had to. The Bible says he smote him. He had to strike him, Peter, on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. Do you see that the light, the true light delivers?
Yes, Lord.
The true light delivers.
Amen.
See, when we come into his light, when we start walking in his light, God will show up. The chains will fall off of you. The chains will fall off of you. The light was the thing that showed Paul, changed his direction from being a killer, trying to kill people, to being an apostle and a servant. Now, at first, it blinded his secular eyes because he was not originally walking by faith. He was walking by what he could see these Christians doing. And as far as he could tell, they weren't really worshiping the true God. So his fleshly sight had to be taken so his spiritual sight could be made alive. The first thing that happened when God called Saul was there was a light. And it was only for him because the others, all they could do was hear the voice and were scared. And then he became physically blind, but his spiritual sight opened. When we want to walk by faith, when you want to see something that is you can't see, what do you have to do? Right, you have to walk by faith, which means sometimes if I say Paris, and you really want to visualize it, what do you do? You have to close your eyes because your eyes are telling you this scene, but your faith organ, which is your imagination, wants to see this Eiffel Tower. So the first thing you do is close your eyes. We walk by faith, not by sight. And you can only sometimes see God's light when we close off. That's a lot of times why we close our eyes when we pray. There's no Bible that says you have to close your eyes, but because of this flesh, sometimes we have to close our eyes to the distractions of this world to really walk in God's light. Because if we're looking at other things, the headlights will blind us. The distractions will take us the wrong way. Amen. So we see that it was the true light that came and was part of the deliverance for Peter. And the chains fell from off his hands. That's amazing. As soon as the angel showed up, a light shone. Amen. Now, we see that there's this connection between God's word and truth. In Psalms 43, verse 3, it says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth, because God's light is going to give us the true path out of our issue. Satan's path is deception. He's trying to deceive us. He's trying to take us in the wrong direction. Psalms 43, verse 3 says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. See, if we truly listen to God's word, he's got a word for every situation. I've often told you all you should pick a verse. Pick a verse that suits your situation. You're lacking for food, then you say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Right? You pick a verse because there is a word that can lead your feet spiritually out of your situation. Amen? If you got someone coming against you, you can say that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Right? When you have that lamp of the word, wherever you are in, it will lead you out. If you're sick, you can say, he was wounded for my transgressions. See, that's a lamp unto your feet that is taking you out of your situation. So thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Psalms 43 verse 3 says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Psalms 25 verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me the paths. Lead me in thy truth. See, we're on a Christian journey, and what's so amazing to me, or was amazing about my dad, although he, you know, as he got up in years, a lot of people, when they get up in years, they become fixed. They become, as they say, set in their ways, right? Yeah. This is how I've always done it. I'm not going to change now. But the amazing thing about my dad was he was always still growing spiritually. He was still open to learning more things. I never want to get to the place where I said, I know it all. You can't teach me nothing. Because I have not arrived. Paul, near the end of his life, said, it's not as if I have attained, but I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in what? Now, isn't that amazing? The greatest apostle of the New Testament who wrote all of these epistles, near the end of his life, he says this, it's not as if I have attained. You know what that means? The word, the lamp was still leading him. He was still on this journey. He was still letting the word of God, the spirit of God, give him more revelation. More. I never want to stop receiving from God. I never want to stop receiving from God. The children of Israel were led at night by a pillar of fire, and by day a cloud covered them. You see, we have to be led. They never stayed permanently in any one place in the desert. It was a journey. It was a journey till they were ready to cross over into Jordan. So we have to let the word lead us whenever we're in a situation. I should be able to say, okay, I'm sick. Give me a scripture. Come on, someone give me a scripture. All right, okay. Let me say it again. I got some financial problems. All right, another one. See, the lamp can lead you out of a situation. Okay? The lamp can lead you out of a situation. You got someone who is lying on you. Okay? Someone lied on you and now they want your forgiveness. Right? The word is a lamp. The word will show you the direction, how you should respond. If you respond in your flesh, you're going to say, man, I'm not trusting you ever. Ever. How dare you come and ask me for forgiveness? See, if you listen to your own flesh, you would be in a different mood. But if the word is truly a lamp, we say the scripture, well, then pick up the lamp and use it. Pick up the lamp and use it. Actually find a scripture to every situation you're going to be in this week. Can you think of some situations you're facing this week? Don't tell me. Anyone got some situations? Okay, then the next job is to go get the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. Fill your lamp and find the word and follow it. Imagine, just imagine if we actually practice that. We say it. It's easy to say, but do we actually do that? David in Psalms 25 said, show me, not the money, not the money, thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Anyone ever made some bad mistakes? Oh, boy. There's some things I wish I had a time machine. I would go back and I'd change this decision. You know why? Because we do not let the word lead us. The strength of David, why David was so successful most of the time, was before he did anything. I've told you this before. What does it say in the scripture? He inquired of the Lord. That means he took up the lamp. He took up the lamp and inquired, okay, Lord, where should I put my next foot? See, this world is like a minefield. And if you're trained in dealing with a minefield and things like that, then you're not going to just put your foot down any old where. You're going to look at the ground and you're going to try and see which way it's taking you. Verse 5 says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Sometimes we're just too anxious. We don't want to wait. I want it now. And if we will just wait on the Lord, the Bible says he will direct our paths. So the word is a lamp if we use it, but we speak about it, but we don't use it. Imagine, as I said, if you're facing an issue this week, if you will pick up God's word and find the word that lights your next step. Amen? The other thing that it speaks about is that the light and truth. So that means knowledge. Knowledge. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined where? Into our hearts. Has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This book is a revelation. That's why I said I can show you the letters as I gave you that example. And at first you don't realize that it's got a sentence in there. But if we're looking into Jesus' face, he said, looking unto Jesus who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If we will do that, then the light of knowledge, we're on a journey. Things will start to be revealed to us. If we're meditating on scripture, if we're seeking God, that word will become a lamp unto our feet. That word will become a lamp unto our feet. It's the most powerful thing, according to God's Bible, is the word of God. It said, heaven and earth shall what? But my words, just by saying, let there be, that's all God had to say. Nature was created. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as of a shining light. That means as we keep using the word, it'll become brighter. It's like we're walking towards an open door. Amen. If we keep using the word, the Bible says, but the path of the just, or in other words, the righteous, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. God will reveal himself more and more to you. Things you couldn't deal with yesterday, last year, you'll be able to deal with in 2019 because you've been down that road. You know where the little twists are. You know where the little gullies are. The way of the wicked, though, is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. As I said, I was listening to the book, and this professor who's got all these degrees was saying some real nonsense. I was talking back to him as I was driving. I wish he could have heard me. In fact, I was going to write to him. I felt so incensed. I tried to find an email address to write to him because he was saying such. How could he not see that? But the Bible explains it. The God of this world hath blinded the eyes. So we have to look for the true light. Amen. So when we are walking in light, as I said last week, we're walking in separation. Because God does not want to bless mess. As I showed you in the example, Abraham had to get to the place where he was truly just him and his immediate family. He brought first his father, not going to work. Brought Lot, not going to work. And as I said, not that Lot was a terrible person. The Bible says in Peter that he was a righteous man. But that doesn't matter. God has a separate plan for your life. Your life. In fact, when Jesus came and spoke to the disciples after his resurrection, and he went to Peter, they were fishing, and Peter saw him on the beach, and Peter jumped out of the boat and swam, and Jesus started to speak to him. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord. He asked him again, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, feed my sheep. The last time he said, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my lambs. He said, well, then he started to talk to Peter and tell him that he was going to have to sacrifice and the kind of death he was going to have to follow. Then Peter turns around and points to someone else, and I believe it was John, and said, but what about him? What about him? What do you have for him? Jesus said, really, that's none of your business. I'm dealing with you. Do you understand? Salvation is a personal thing. Unfortunately, my light is for me. In the parable of the 10 virgins, they all had their own lamps. There was no sharing allowed. Do you understand that? You have to find your own lamp, get your own oil, and make sure your lamp is trimmed. So walking in light is walking in separation. If You want God's fullness and His blessing. Remember what I said of the three separations that God did in the beginning, right? Separated the light from the darkness, and that is symbolizing separated from ignorance. When we come to God and we start learning about what God wants, we are separated from ignorance. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall do what?" Right, and that word acknowledge really means to know. So the more you know about God, the more you truly, truly believe in your heart that He is your King, He is your provider, He is your salvation. And when you truly have a conversation with God, when you get to that point that you know Him, then He's going to start directing your path. David always asked questions. That's why for the most part he never got in trouble until the couple times he did not ask of God. That was the times he got in trouble, right? He would inquire of God. I told the story of the time when he was in this town called Keilah, and Saul was after him, and he had helped these people. He had delivered them, but he heard Saul was coming, and so instead of staying there and thinking, well, you know, these are my buddies, they're not going to betray me, he said, you know what, I better ask God first. Let me check with God what He wants me to do. The Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord, and he asked two questions. He said, if I stay in Keilah, will the men of Keilah give me over to, first of all, he says, will Saul come and get me? And the Lord said, yes, he will. And he says, well, if I stay in this town, will the men betray me? And God told him, yes, they will. And so you know what he did? He got out of town. See, when you inquire of the Lord, He will direct your path. He will show you the way to walk. He will tell you, okay, it's time to move from this position. You ever been anywhere and you just start to feel uncomfortable? You know, like, you know what? I better leave this spot. I was somewhere the other night in a parking lot, and it was just some strange driving around going on. And I said, you know what? I think I really need to get out of this parking lot here. You know, God will direct your path if you will inquire of Him, if you will acknowledge Him. So the first separation God did, light from darkness, is the same as separated from ignorance. In all thy ways, know Him, in other words, and then He shall direct your path. Then He separated the water below from the water above. And this is some review. And that's separation from profane, things that are common, things that stain you, things that are going to sear your soul. You know, it's like you're being around a whole bunch of people and all they're doing is cussing and carrying on. You just feel unclean. You didn't do nothing, but just hearing all that mess just makes you feel ugh. And so whenever you can separate yourself from certain people, certain places, that's what God wants us to do. In John 17:16, He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And I said, this is really a revelation, because we know that Jesus' birth was supernatural. So we can understand when He says, I am not of the world. But Jesus then applies this to His own disciples. He says, they are not of the world. How could they not be of the world? They were born just like everybody else. What made it that they were not of the world? And I said it's because they were walking with the light of the world. When you walk in the light of the world, it separates you from the darkness. You become not of the world. In fact, after the resurrection, when Peter and James were before the Sanhedrin, they realized that these were ignorant and unlearned men. But they took notice that they had been with Jesus. When you're with the light of the world, it's going to change you. It's going to consecrate you. It's going to make you not of this world. So when God separated the water below from the water above, I said it was because He was wanting to use the water above. Isn't that right? Because the next thing in Genesis, it says that there had not been rain, but God caused a mist, the water above. And He could use it because it had now been separated to bring forth life. God wants to use you, but He's not going to use you when you're mixed up with everything. You have to be separated so that God can use you. That's what walking in light is about. And then the third separation that God did, of course, was the water from the land. And that is separating from our old nature. We can't do everything that our flesh tells us to do, what we lean to do. Ephesians 4:22, that he put off concerning the former conversation. And that just means lifestyle. If you're coming to God and you say you're a believer, there absolutely has to be a difference. There has to be a difference. You cannot be doing exactly the same thing you were doing before. Because otherwise it means you're not what? Separated. That he put off concerning the former conversation. That means your former lifestyle. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. By that it means my flesh. Because a lot of things my flesh wants to do is deceitful. It feels good for the moment, but it's going to reap a harvest that's not going to be so good. You know, people who enjoy alcohol, at the time it feels really good. Until the next morning they wake up in the gutter with vomit all over them. And it's a, you see what I'm saying? It's deceitful. Same thing with drugs. It's deceitful. It makes you feel good for the moment. But in the end, the harvest isn't going to be so good. So we have to be separated from that old nature. We can't be hanging around in bars and clubs and expect that we are going to have the Spirit of God always protecting us. That former lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So let's look at that walking in the light. Let's look at how we can use God's word, his lamp, to direct us. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, God has given us some promises. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Now, what does it mean to cleanse ourselves? We actually cannot make ourselves holy. But we can separate ourselves from stuff that is unholy. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to have to watch every single thing that comes on the cable. Because some of it is unholy. It is profane. I can't make myself holy, but I can separate myself. All right? When we separate ourselves, then God makes us holy. It's a two-step process. We can separate ourselves from choices that lead to destruction. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Paul would not say it if it wasn't possible. We can clean ourselves up from some mess, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God is going to do the perfection. We just need to do the separation. Okay, I'm not going to hang around that group of people. I talk with Antion quite a lot. You know, he's been incarcerated for a number of years, and he's got about 3 more years before he can come out. And I tell him, I said, Antion, first thing when you come out is you're going to have to get a new circle.
That's right.
You can't hang around with the same people.
That's right.
You know, you can't fly with eagles if you're hanging around with turkeys, right? You're going to have to get a new circle. You're going to have to separate yourself from that group, because if you stay in that group, no matter how strong you think you are, you're going to end up being persuaded. The Bible says two cannot walk together except they agree. So if you're hanging around with the wrong type of people, don't be surprised if you end up doing what they're doing. Acts 13:2, we see this example in the New Testament church of separation for the use of God. As the church was praying in Antioch, it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. That's what we've been doing this month, is fasting, seeking God. And the Holy Ghost said, what? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. If you want God to use you, you have to be separated. That means dedicated to him. Not anything else. Dedicated to him. I'm not where I want to be dedicated because I've got other things I'm doing. But I'm trying. And that's what we have to do. If we want God to use us, we have to be dedicated to him. We need to tithe our time. 168 hours, I think, in the week, right? 24 times 7. Do you tithe 16.7 hours? Is 16.7 hours given over to God? Maybe not. But imagine if you were dedicated to God, tithing your time, your Bible study, your reading, your worship. Okay? You would be sowing. Therefore, when you sow, what can you expect? To reap. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They separated them. They were called specifically by God to be used as evangelists and as apostles. So God's word will direct our walk if we will separate ourselves. Just as he said to Abraham, after the last person left him, he said, and God said, okay, Abraham, I'm ready to deal with you now. Now I can bless you exclusively. I have a separate blessing for Lot. So I needed you by yourself. Now, Abraham, I want to talk with you. I almost imagine God putting his hand around him, because you know what he says? Come out. I want you to come out of the tent. Come on out, Abraham. I'm going to show you something fantastic. I've got such blessing for you. You're going to be unique. Your name is going to be lauded for thousands of years. Come out here, Abraham. Now, look up at the stars. Look up at the stars. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Abraham, look up. I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to declare some blessings on your life. Now, because you're separated. And he started to tell him, look up at the stars. If you can tell the stars, Abraham, this is how I'm going to bless you. And to show you that I'm separating you, I'm changing your name. Remember what I said, that when God calls somebody, he changes their name. It's no longer Abram. It's going to be Abraham. No longer Sarai, but Sarah. God changes the name. Changes the name means a change of nature. Amen. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Imagine if we were that separated so that the fivefold ministries could really operate fully. That's what God wants. But most of the time, most of us are in Haran. That's a whole message title. Living in Haran. That'd be a message, wouldn't it? Living in Haran, because that's where we're parked. We took all our family with us, and we parked in Haran. And it took till Abraham's father died before he took the next step. And yet he was blaming God for not giving him the son for 25 years. When most of the time, you know what happens? God is waiting on you. You think you're waiting on God. And God is saying, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm right here. You're still in Haran. Are you going to get up and do what I first asked you when I first called you? Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak of himself. Do you have some decisions you got to make this year? You got some big decisions? Have you prayed about it? Have you applied a scripture to it? I'm going to tread on some toes. Tread on some toes. What about marriage? Scripture for marriage. Come on, there's many. Who said that? All right. Good. Good. I quote that one to my wife. We quote scripture at each other. Isn't that good? We quote scripture at each other. That's good. We have a scripture fight with scripture. Not a fight, but we quote scripture to each other. Another one on marriage. Come on. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will go. You see, we're not using the lamp. We use our own intellect and our own thoughts. That's what we do. Imagine if before we did any choices, we actually found a scripture and said, okay, in the light of this scripture, what should I do? What should I do? Don't you think we would have saved ourselves some bad decisions? Amen. Okay, I'm trying to hurry. So separation is another word for sanctification. And I put five scriptures, all from the New Testament, that speak about this. As I said, we cannot make ourselves holy, but we can separate from things that would take away from our purity. Right? We can't make ourselves old, but we can drop off some friends, drop off some activities, drop off some things we say. See, you cannot fight thoughts that come in your head, but you certainly don't have to speak them out. Because when you speak them out, that's when they become powerful. That's when they become actualized. So yes, you may not prevent strange, weird, ridiculous thoughts coming in your head, and you say, man, where did that come from? Isn't that awful that I even thought about that thing? Mm-hmm. Now come on, is it only me? I'm the only one that has that? Yeah, the devil will put really ridiculous, you know, crazy thoughts like, whoa, why did I even think such a thing? But don't dare say it. Because when you say it, it's when it takes on a life. What you need to do is rebuke that thing and say, man shall not live by bread alone. Another scripture is bringing every thought into captivity, pulling down strongholds. Let's read some of these scriptures, because we're talking about using the lamp to lead us. Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus had to separate himself quite a lot of times from people. Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your separation, that he should abstain from fornication. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, I might not have your issue. Maybe I'm not tempted to steal, but maybe I'm tempted to eat. Maybe my separation needs to be from the fridge. Need to post a big picture of me leaning over on that fridge. Because the Bible says, know ye not that this is the temple of God. So we should make sure the temple is in good standing, both physically and spiritually. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. If we are listening to the Spirit, it's going to separate us from negative things, negative people, negative situations, negative thoughts. If we are listening, if we are submitted. But what we don't understand about prayer and why we need to pray is prayer is submitting that dominion back to God. Prayer shouldn't be about, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me the other. Prayer should really be, not my will, but thy will. When we keep doing that, when we speak those words out, we are giving God back the power of attorney to act upon our behalf. And when you give him the power of attorney, then he can act upon your behalf. I have power of attorney for a couple people. And that allows me to represent them. If I didn't have the piece of paper, I could not act on their behalf. I can call the IRS and I can, because they have given me, they have submitted dominion to me. You want God to act on your behalf, but you're not actually giving him dominion. That's what we're doing when we're praying. We are submitting. Instead of asking God for stuff, Lord, you take my choices. Lead me. Lord, I've got some terrible decisions. I don't know what to do. It looks like I should go this way or that way. Lord, let your lamp of your Spirit guide me. What should I do, Lord? I need to fix this situation. I don't even know where to begin. How can I change this job or go in this direction? What should I do, Lord? The Bible says, lean not to our own understanding. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through, again, sanctification of the Spirit. That means it's in there twice. When we start to separate ourselves, just as God did, then he can use us. After God separated the water from the water, and I really need to find this because I want to point out something very interesting in Genesis 1 about the fact of how God used the water. It's in Genesis 1, Genesis 1, okay, Genesis 1, verse 10, I didn't put it in here, thank you. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Now, listen very carefully. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So all this stuff appeared. But there's still no growth. Listen. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Okay, and it goes on, for the firmament, let there be lights. And the evening and the morning were, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly and all of that. Let me find the scripture that I want. Okay, so it's in chapter 2. We find something interesting in chapter 2. Okay. Let me find it here. It's in chapter 2, verse 5. So we see that the earth has brought forth all these things. They're seeds. But listen to this in chapter 2, verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, because there was something lacking. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. You see, he had separated that water for a purpose. He brought forth all these plants, but it said before they were in the earth, nothing could grow because there was not rain. And there was not a man to till the ground. But the water that he had separated, verse 6, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. You see, when God separates you, he can then use you to bring forth growth. Hallelujah. We're almost out of time. Amen. So how should we behave once we understand that God has called us to walk in light? And I want to talk about how we should behave. We should be different. People should say, yeah, you're strange. You go to that holy roller church. Well, I don't expect them to say that, but there should be a difference between you and them. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. That means when we're outside, when we're witnessing to people, it's no good speaking to them in tongues. They're just going to think you're crazy, right? Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. I've told that story so many times about my former pastor who someone cut him off and he started to shake his fist at them. And then they end up coming into the same parking lot of the church, and then he had to get out the car and welcome them to the church. So that someone you can later invite to church, the same person who was on your case, that you've not said anything to them to destroy your witness, you can still say, you want to come to my church? What? After you treat me like that? No. We should always be manifesting grace. How we should think as believers. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. This is speaking about relationships in the church now. Gossip. Let me say that word gossip, that deadly word, gossip. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. This is talking about the word of God shining a light on how we are to walk. Did you hear something? Did you know about that? That's not what we're supposed to be doing, is it? No. No, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, even if the thing is true, it's not a good report. Right? It's not a good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Thinking about someone else's mess is not going to help you. You should work out your own salvation. Tell you what, if I wasn't pastor, you wouldn't. I'd be at the back praying and think I would want to be up here? Think I would want to be taking calls or texts at 3 a.m.? No way. No. I wouldn't want to be up here. No. I got my own salvation to work out. I got my own pile of problems that I need God to deal with. I tell you what, I have had to force myself, and this is very bad to say, very bad to say. I'm glad my wife wasn't here now, because if she heard me say, you shouldn't say that. But I have to force myself to pray for other people, because I can be very selfish. I have a whole pile of stuff I want God to work on me. But I know that I'm called to not be like that. I know that I have to, and you should be praying for me. Job's captivity, Job's situation wasn't turned after he prayed to God. No. God had a conversation and said, okay, Job, bye. Didn't fix his situation. Job was still the same way, sick, penniless. It was only when Job prayed for the people who had negative things to say about him that God changed his situation. We should remember that. Pray for them that despitefully use you. So whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, that's what I need to be thinking of. All right, I challenge you. Think of something good this week. Well, I know Malcolm can think of something good. Someone gave him $10 in the cousin's line. Sister Deborah can think of something good that God did for her. Someone paid for all the groceries she put back. Come on, can any of you think of something good this week? Amen. If you did, you'd be smiling. You'd be happy. Lord, it wasn't a big thing, but Lord, for me, it was a big thing. It's a big thing. I can think of maybe not, you know, huge things. I didn't get $1,000 or anything, but God woke me up. Amen. I personally believe, and you can tell me otherwise. You can tell me otherwise, but I personally, because I've been praying about this, I said, Lord, please, you know how far I have to drive. Do not let it snow. And every night on the news now, I hear how it's been 10 inches below normal. And all of the storms, they stop south in Chicago. They never come up to Milwaukee. I'm going to just believe the Lord has answered my prayer. God can do that for one person. He can do that for one person. Did you notice all the storms, they're stopping short in Chicago? I noticed that because I look, because I'm saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. You know, I got 85 miles each way to drive. I don't want no snow. They've only had 1.7 inches of snow in the last, we're midwinter, they said we got 47 more days. But to date, they've only had 1.7 inches of snow. Now, none of you pray against that. None of you pray against that. I want this to be the most weirdest winter ever. I'm telling you, God can do stuff for just one person. That's what I'm praying for. I'm sorry about the ski industry. I'm sorry about them. But for me, I just want to have no snow to drive on. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, just to spite me, I know the devil's going to be talking to his demons. Well, we're going to have some snow in Milwaukee now. I'm praying against that. Amen. Amen. Almost finished. How do you begin walking in light? How do you begin walking in light? 1 John 2:8. Well, the Bible tells us that too. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is past and the true light now shineth. I'll tell you how. It's walking in love. He that saith he is in the light, listen to this very carefully, and hateth his brother, he is in darkness. Walking in light is walking in love. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So if you want to walk in light, think of somebody who has hurt you and been mean to you, and ask God to give you love for that person. You will have started to walk in light. It's as simple as that. He that loveth his brother abideth in light. And the blessings of light I've been describing, all the good things that come of walking in light, you won't stumble. God will fulfill his will in your life. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is already in darkness and walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. It's not a physical darkness, but it's a darkness that will corrupt your thinking, that you won't be able to think straight. You'll make bad decisions because you have so much anger and hate and bitterness. Hallelujah. Walking in light, therefore, is walking in love. If you could stand with me. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. You guys should not leave this church and be out there making up a whole bunch of noise and arguing. That's a reproach. That's a reproach to the church.
Yes, it is.
No, it says gentleness. Don't leave here and be right out there arguing and making a fuss. If you're going to do that, just stay home. And they that are Christ have crucified. That means it's not my flesh, not what I want, not my will. Crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Colossians 3:18. But now ye also put off all these things. Anger. I got to deal with that. That's my problem. I do. Wrath, I got to deal with that. Malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. That's what you got to have, mercy. Mercy. You know why you got to have mercy? Because you need mercy. Every time I think about getting mad with some people, I think, Lord, if you treated me that way, I'd be in trouble. I need to be forgiven because I really need some forgiveness. I failed you so many times and you've been so merciful to me. You want mercy? Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. That means putting up with your brother who hurts you, who says something that's hurtful. Putting up with it. That's for forbearing. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all of that, put on love, which is the bond of perfectedness. So you want to be more perfect? Care about people. Forgive people. That's what we got to do. That is walking in light. The Bible tells us about the 10 virgins and they all fell asleep. And the oil had gone out of their lamps. They didn't have light. You need to get it now while you can. Because there's coming a day when the cry comes out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. We need to have the oil now. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. I believe God's got a word for us today in our second service. I'm not down. I'm happy. Because I want to love. I want to learn to walk in light. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you this morning for filling this place with your presence. And